The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So last week we started this series called Strong and Courageous, and we want to encourage you to keep coming back during the month of January as we look back at the story of Joshua. If you want to go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me this morning, we'll be kind of there camping out in chapter 1 a bit this morning. But I want to pull some other parts of Scripture to kind of paint a picture for us of how, like Joshua and the Israelites, God promised them that he would be with them. God promised them that there was a land for them to have, that he would give them. And in the same way today, I believe that the church of Jesus Christ, not just our local community, not just Hope Hill Church, but that the church of Jesus Christ would be given the land. God has left us here with a mission. God has left us here with a focus, and that is to be his body on this earth, to take the light of Jesus Christ into the dark places of our world, to be a voice for those who do not have a voice, and to bring justice where there is no justice. And God has called us to do this in strength and in courage. Some things that I want to focus on today is to remind us that we can never be strong or courageous enough on our own. That we must allow God to live through us, to give us the power that is needed for us to do the things that he has called us to do. And these promises have been established from the beginning of time. So as we look back at Joshua, and we look back at some of the things that Joshua and the Israelites are going to be led through by God, my hope is that we can learn some lessons for our own future. We started the church 2 years ago. We're about to come up on our official anniversary. February 10th, we will celebrate our anniversary here of 2 years. Some of you have been with us that entire time. And my hope is that you have started to capture what Hope Hill Church is about as you've been with us. For those of you that are new and have joined us recently, again, my hope is clear that you know what we're about. First of all, we are about Jesus Christ. We are 100% about making him known, declaring his love to people around us, in the places where we work, in the places where we play, in the places where we eat, dream, and sleep, wherever we go, that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus. And not just in what we believe, but in what we do and what we think and what we say and how we are just around others. And my hope is that as we take the principles that are going to be pointed out today and we look at our own lives, that we'll see if we're doing the simple, basic things that God has called us to do. If we do these things, I believe God will, that we will be better equipped and enabled to be what God wants us to be. I want to start by kind of painting a broad picture. In Acts chapter, I think it's, let me double check my notes. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Paul was the first missionary, if you will. He himself was far from God, but God got a hold of him through a miraculous way and said, you know, as passionate as you are or have been all your life about the wrong thing, I'm now going to create in you a passion about the right thing. And I'm going to use you to go out and to spread my gospel into all the land. And he comes upon this particular group of people who were philosophically minded. They were very astute. They talked and met often about the philosophies of life. And they were so religious in their way that they had an idol in their midst to every god that they had ever heard of. And just in case they missed one, they had an idol with an inscription that said, "To the unknown God." And Paul stepped into that environment, and instead of declaring them all heathens and sinners going to hell, he stepped into that situation and said, "I see that you are a very religious people. And today I want to tell you about the God you don't know." And he used their situation to bring the light into the darkness. And he declared to them the truth. And he used these words that are powerful for each of us to grab onto today. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 says this. verse 26, excuse me. From one man God made every nation of the men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. He goes on and says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. God has determined for you to be here for this time and season in life. God has a purpose and plan for each and every one of us as individuals, but more importantly, as a corporate part of the body of Christ. And God knew that you'd be sitting here today. You may be sitting there saying, I just came because my wife bugged me and dragged me out of bed. Or I had promised a friend I'd eventually go to church. Or it's a new year and I thought I'd start off the year on the right foot and let God know that I'm still here. For whatever reason you think you're here, God knew you'd be here. And the truth that I want you to hear today is that God has a plan for your life. And God wants to use you. And it isn't based just on who you are or what you've done, but it's based on his love for you and what he wants to accomplish in you and through you. And so my hope as you go through these next few weeks with us, my hope is that you'll come back, that you will hear the voice of God make clear to you that first of all, he loves you and he wants you to be a part of what he's doing in this area. Last week, I let us know that 82% of the people that live in Prince William County do not know the love of Jesus Christ. 82% of the people that live in Prince William County have either rejected God or have pursued another religion. And God has put us here to show the love, to declare the love, not just in word, but in deed. And we're doing the best we can to make that happen. And thanks to you, there are some great things going on. How many of you have been a part of adopting a family through Hope Hill Church for a holiday time? How many of you have been a part of helping pay for someone's rent or electric bill by being a part of a community group that sponsored a group? How many of you have been a part of passing out a Christmas pie or a holiday pie to offer to pray for someone, whatever needs they had? We are here to be the body of Christ. We are here to be the church, not just do church. God does not want us just to come here one hour a week to fill a place, to sing some good music, to get a devotional read to us, and check off a box saying we've done the godly thing we needed to do. God has called us each to day in and day out be his hands, to be his feet, and to walk with him and let him be strength and courage through our lives as we declare his truth. And my hope is that you're ready, that you're on board. Andrew already mentioned, tonight we have a Hope Hill 101 class. And if you want to get deeper into knowing what we really believe, what we stand for, what we're about and how we want to accomplish it, this two-hour class will summarize a lot of it for you. So my hope is that you'll come check it out. We offer it once a month. Tonight is an opportunity to hear more about that. Let's get into the word for today. Jeremiah 29:11 says what? A lot of you know this. God says, I know the what I have for you. And plans for you to what? Prosper and not to harm. God said that to a group of people who were in captivity. And the promise was said. And if you read that story, Jeremiah 29:11, you might even want to, Jeremiah 29, actually drop down to verse 4. I want you to see what's kind of going on there. A lot of us know that Jeremiah 29:11, and we claim it every day for ourselves, that God has plans for me, plans for my prosperity. But there's a lot more going on there that we need to realize, that we need to grab a hold of. Jeremiah 29, I'm going to start in verse 4. Again, God is saying this to a group of people who were in captivity, and they were in captivity for 70 years. So it wasn't like God was ready to take them out of their trial immediately. But he knew that even their trial that he had led them into was going to be used for his good. It says this, Jeremiah 29, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He says this to them: you're in captivity, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to build houses and settle down. I want you to plant gardens and eat what they produce. I want you to marry and have sons and daughters. I want you to find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. And I want you to increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of what? The city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. But this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All of our hearts. God has a plan for us. But the truth is that sometimes that plan involves God allowing us to be in exile. Sometimes that plan has us experiencing a tumor that we never expected. Sometimes the plans of God have us being face to face with a raging flood stage Jordan River that he wants us to somehow cross. God's plans are not always easy. God's plans are not always, you know, the best and brightest, but God's plans are perfect. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I am excited about the plans that God has for us as a church, because I know that as we are faithful to him and as we seek him, we will be amazed and God will do amazing things through us. Are you excited about that? Hello? Are you excited about that? You guys are not convincing me. Okay. So let's dive in. Joshua chapter 1. This morning, I also want you to hear from, we have a group, a few of us staff members that help take care of things here at Hope Hill Church, meet once a week. And this week, Terry, folks, some of you know Terry, we each kind of take turns giving a devotional, a word of encouragement as we start our staff meetings. And this week, I just need you to know that, first of all, Terry is very rarely in here. Where's Terry? Right over here. Great. Terry is very, how many services have you been in the last 2 years? Terry is normally running a big part of our elementary program during this time. And this week, last week, she wasn't in here when I spoke. And she didn't know what I was sharing and challenging with us. And if you missed it, you can go to our website, hopehillchurch.org, and go to the podcast and you can listen. And my encouragement would be that you do that, because it really laid some good foundation for us as we start the year. But when we met, was it Monday or Tuesday? Okay. Whatever day it was, we met Monday or Tuesday. And Terry just said, you know, God gave me some verses that to share with you all today. And to be honest, I'm not sure that they made sense. He gave them to me and I want to share them. And they were so powerful and so in line with what I think God wants us to hear as a body right now that I've asked her to be in here this morning to come and share with us. So we're going to bring her up in just a little bit to share with us, because I think the word that she received is a word for all of us. And it just echoes what God has been speaking to me in my time and hopefully speaking to you as we dive into the word together. God has a plan for us. Last week, I told you to get ready. I told you to not get ahead of God. And what was my third point? Remember what God has done. Thank you. God does want us to get ready. He has amazing plans in store for us. If you would have asked me 2 years ago when God called me to plant this church, what we would accomplish in our first 2 years, I would have named half the stuff that God has been able to show up and do amongst us. I read some highlights. 80 people have come to know Christ because of the work that many of you have been a part of in the last 2 years. Over 1,000 people have been provided meals and coats and clothing and presents for their children and food on the weekends. Children in our community go without food if they don't have a school lunch. That's how poor they are and the kind of situation. And these are people who live within 5 miles of us. A lot of us, our eyes aren't open to these things. And God has done amazing things through us. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. He has so much more that he wants us to get ready for. God also encouraged the Israelites not to get ahead of him. We saw in the story last week that as God moved, they were to follow him. And in the same way, God has a lot that he wants us to do. But we need to be careful that it's him leading us and telling us when to take which step and how that we don't get ahead of him. There's a lot of good things that we could be doing, but we need to focus on what God wants us doing. And if we let him lead, we will accomplish things that we could never imagine. And then we need to remember what he has done. Because a lot of times we'll feel burnt out or we'll look at a scenario like how in the world. I remember 2 years ago sitting at a staff meeting when I felt God said, I want you to adopt people for Christmas. And we had over 40 names come in, 40 families, not just names, 40 times 4, what's the math, 160 to take care of. And a couple of the staff members were like, are we going to close the door at some point? And I was like, I know this is scary, but I don't feel like God wants us to close the door. Let's just trust him. And because of the work we were able to do together, and God was able to do through us, even more, 52 families this year were adopted by us. God has so much more he wants to do through us. Let us remember that it's not us here to do the work, but it's him doing the work through us. And as long as we rely on him and trust him, he will help us accomplish things that we never could think of or imagine. That's what excites me. Let's get in to lay the foundation for how this is possible. So I told you last week, as we started this series, that as Joshua was called, and forgive me, I listened to the podcast this past week, and I said Joseph, like over and over again. How many were like, why does he keep saying Joseph? Yeah, a couple of you. Sorry. I just did. Okay, so anyway. So Joshua is the correct character that we're talking about. Joshua was left behind and called out by God to lead the people. Moses had done his part up to a point, and it was now Joshua's turn. And like Joshua, some of you have been called and appointed by God to take the next leg. Some of the people over different aspects of Hope Hill Church have been leading from our launch day up till now. And some of you are to be the next to step up and to fill some areas. There are lots of things to be done within Hope Hill Church as well as in our community. And God wants you to do those things. But before we can do any of this, we need to remember some basic principles that God mapped out for Joshua and for all of us to follow. I'm going to start reading in Joshua chapter 1. Just to put it in context, I'm going to actually start at verse 1 and read through verse 9 this morning. Here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land that I am going to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's the key passage for today. So be strong and courageous, verse 6, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God, I pray that you make these words come to life for each of us as individuals this morning. And God, I pray that you would give us a clear vision for what this means to us as a church. God, bring these words to life to us. In your name we pray. Amen. So verse 6, the encouragement there is for us to be strong and courageous. And God, I think, needs us each to know that he has called each of us to lead others. Now, your circle of influence may be different than the person sitting next to you, but God has clearly put each of us into a place where he wants to use us in the place where he has put us. So he says this, be strong and courageous because you will lead people to an inheritance. The inheritance that God has for each of us is not just a physical land, but it is a life and eternity with him forever. It is a life, a part of the body that he has created and placed on earth to be loving and to extend love and generosity and care to those in darkness and those who do not yet know him. God has called you to lead others into the love of Christ. The next thing he wants us to do is he wants us to be careful to obey the law that Moses gave us. A couple of months ago, we did a series through the book of Galatians where Paul made it clear that we understood that the law was for a purpose. It was to show us the love of God and how we are a broken people and need God. And so as we go forward, the encouragement to us, the first thing is that we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be immersed in it. We need to be meditating on it. What do these words mean? Psalm chapter 1 is a passage of scripture. I think we have it for the screen here. Psalm chapter 1 says this. Yes, coming. If you have a Bible, you can turn to it. We might be able to beat the technology. Psalm chapter 1 says this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his, what? Delight is in the law of the Lord. How many of you would say today that God's word brings joy to your life? How many of you here today would say that you delight in it? If you read the Psalms, you're going to see that a lot of it are written by a guy named David who had some messed up things in his life, made some mistakes, but he was in love with the law of God. He had words like, your word is like honey on my lips. When I lie in bed at night, I think about your promises and your decrees. He was in love with God. Are you in love with God? Do you love God's word so much that you're drawn to it, that you crave it, that you desire it in your life? We aren't going to know what God wants if we aren't listening to him through his word. And my encouragement as we step in and as we prepare to get ready for what God has done, that the first thing we do is that we would start to delight in his law. And not just on a Sunday morning when whoever's standing up front holding it and teaching it, but that we would make it a regular part of our lives. There are so many ways to make this possible in your life. How many of you have a smartphone? How many of you have downloaded a Bible app? There are so many apps out there today that it'll send you notifications. It'll email you verses so that each and every day you can immerse yourself in the Word of God. My encouragement is find a way, whatever, if you're old-fashioned and you don't like smartphones or you just have one of the, how many of you have a flip phone still? Yeah, okay. Yeah, and proud, exactly. Well, find a way to get in God's Word and allow it to get into you. What happens when this happens? Listen, his delight is in the law and the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. So God not only wants us reading it, he wants us thinking about it. Meditation, what is that? Isn't that like Eastern mysticism, Buddhist stuff? No, not at all. Meditation is when we take a concept that we have in Scripture and we dwell on it. It's a place where we ponder it. We allow God, bring it to life in me. Show me how to apply that truth to my own life. And we go throughout the day thinking upon it, praying about it. God, bring this to life in my life. We spend time meditating on the Word. What happens when we become people who are in the Word and we allow the Word to get into us? It says this, that we will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields what? Fruit in its season. You might look at your life and say, you know what? There are some things in my life that I just can't get together. There are some habits I can't break. There are temper control problems or issues I have. My first question to you is, how much time do you spend in the Word? I have found in my life that the way that I can overcome some of the struggles I have is by immersing it in Scripture. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When I feel temptations or struggles or at the end of my rope, I think about how much God loves me. I think about the promises and truths found in his word, and I get strength from those things. And my encouragement and my challenge to you is, how much time do you spend in the word of God? If we spend time in the word of God, we will be like a tree planted next to a river that will bear fruit. Galatians 5 tells us about the fruit that is supposed to be in our life. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Sam. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Bible says against these things there are no laws. These are all good things, and these are the things that should be fruit in our lives. Look at your life. Is there much fruit? The other day, Brandy looked at me and said, you're not a happy person these days. Your life is full of stress. You're grumpy. I need to get planted. I'm running around putting out fires and taking care of so many things. And I looked back and apart from studying for Sunday mornings, I haven't found my own time with God. And I can't operate like that. I can't lead anybody else if I'm not letting God lead me. So I need to get back into my own personal time in God's word to allow myself to be planted in him. Are you planted in God? Are you planted in his word? If not, make that happen. Now, I'm not saying you have to be religious about it. And what I mean by that is, if for some reason you decide you're going to do the next 30 days in the scriptures and you miss a day, God's going to go, you failed. It's not like that. God wants your heart to start to beat with his heart. God wants you to pursue him where and when you can. And my encouragement is that you would make that a regular habit in your life on a daily basis. The next thing I want to encourage us to do is not only to put God's word in our life, but to draw close to his presence so that we can be empowered by his spirit. Let me turn back to Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9 says this. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be what?
Terrified.
Thank you. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. 2 Timothy 1:7. If you don't know that verse, I encourage you to memorize it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says what? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but a spirit instead of what? Power, of love, and self-discipline. And because of time, I can't take us to all the passages I wanted us to look today. But there are only a few places where this is made clear in Scripture. First of all, God said that apart from his spirit, we can do nothing. We need to allow the Holy Spirit into our lives. And that has to happen on a daily basis. We need to come to him, seeking his word, and asking him, God, fill me today. Help me to walk in your truth. Help me to walk in your life. Help me to walk in the power that you give, and the love that you give, and in the self-discipline. If we don't have God's spirit, we will be just useless human beings. And yeah, sure, there's a lot of human beings that accomplish a lot. But God wants us to accomplish God-sized things. And if we allow ourselves to be filled with the Spirit, the scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus was getting ready to go up to heaven. He had spent 33 years on the earth. He had already died on the cross, and he prepared his closest friends, his disciples. And he said, it's time for you to carry on what I have taught you. But before you go, the Holy Spirit is going to come. My Father is going to send you what you need, because apart from the Spirit, you can't do the things I'm calling you to do. And in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive what? Power. The word for power here in this verse and in the verse we just read is dunamis. It's where we get dynamite from. Have you ever messed with dynamite? I wish I could. Especially after hearing all the bombs this week going off of Quantico, shaking my house. I love power. Okay, I love dynamite. Anybody have any access to dynamite? Okay. God wants us to know that there is a supernatural power that he gives to his children. The power to overcome the things in our life that tie us down. The power to love when we don't feel like loving. The power to forgive when we don't know how we can forgive. The power to witness when we don't even know what words we would say next. God wants us to realize that when we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. And he will give us the power. The power to what? The power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God has a plan for us. God wants to use us. God is going to enable us to do what he wants us to do. I want you to hear a couple more passages of scripture so that we are encouraged together from the body. Terry, will you come on up and share what God has laid in your heart? Guys, this is words from God that we're sharing together today. And my hope is that we'll grab onto them and that we won't allow obstacles to stop us from being used by God, but that we will embrace these promises and let God live through us. Go ahead, Terry.
Sure, thank you. I had been praying because I knew at staff meeting it was going to be my turn to start devotional. And I asked God to give me what we as a church needed to hear, what the staff members needed to hear. And I'd been praying, and we had a couple weeks off with Christmas break. Didn't think I was hearing really anything, but I just jotted down things as I would hear something that would catch my attention on from preachers on TV and going through the Bible and reading old notes. And I jotted down thoughts, but we were a week away from our staff meeting, and I was still praying. God, you know, it just seems like nothing's really fitting together. Which direction do you want to go? And then it got down to the day before, and still I'm praying and asking God, you know, clarify to me which passage I should talk to the staff members about. What do we need to hear as a church? And the morning came, staff meeting was at 10:30, and at 10 o'clock, it's like, God, I still don't know what I'm going to say. So I, you know, still jotted down a few more things I felt like were jumping out to me. And when I got to Panera for our staff meeting, John said that he had some things to share. And my first thought was, whew, I don't have to do it this week anyhow. But as John spoke and told us, kind of recapped what he had shared with the congregation on Sunday, I realized that I still had something to share, and the different things that God had spoken to me over those last couple weeks were fitting together like a puzzle. And the title I had scribbled on my paper was Expect the Favor of God. The verse that I started with was from Psalm 35:27. And part of that verse says, the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. When I think about the mission of Hope Hill Church, it doesn't take anyone who comes here long to realize where John's heart is. John and Brandy have a passion to reach people for Christ, to transform lives. they need help to reach those, to go out into the communities and into the neighborhood. So the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. How does that fit into our mission here at Hope Hill to reach the lost? In the parable of the lost sheep, jumped out at me when I heard a preacher talk about it, and he preached it in a way that I had never really heard it taught before. The parable of the lost sheep is found in Luke 15, and we know that the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find that one that is lost. But this preacher said, you know, we're not told that that sheep was wanting to be found. There are people out there who don't even know that they're lost. They're not necessarily out there crying, say, come find me. But yet, when we have the heart of God, we want to go out into the community and reach those who are lost, to go into our very own neighborhood, go to them, not wait for them to say, oh yeah, I need to repent, but to actually go, and that compassion that we show them can lead them to repentance. The sinner repents after being sought out, and I believe that God is challenging us to go seek out those who are lost. And there's another parable in Luke about the man who had two sons, and he divided the inheritance up. One son wanted to go out off on his own to leave home. And we know the story about how he ran out of money, spent all his father's money, all of his inheritance, and realized his life wasn't very good out there, and thought about how even his father's servants had food to eat, that he would be better off going back home, telling dad he was sorry, and being, you know, asking, can I at least be like one of your servants so that I can be fed? So it was some form of repentance, but it was a selfish type of repentance. It wasn't a true repentance. But yet as he headed home, when his father saw him, the father ran to him. He sought him out. And when that son saw the love of the father, then it was the true repentance. Then, yes, he was sorry. He came back. He asked dad for forgiveness. Notice he never asked, oh, by the way, can I just be like one of your servants and just eat, you know, as good as they do? He received the real love of his father that brought him to repentance, and he was welcomed in. So in reaching those in our community who need Jesus, it does take time and money to go after the lost. We're a young church, and God reminded me of the story in Ruth. We read about Boaz. He was a very wealthy landowner. And back in those days, they would leave, they were required to leave a little bit in the fields for those who were less fortunate. And they would come and they would pick the leftovers after the servants came through and collected the harvest. Well, Ruth came and she gleaned in his fields. And she ended up finding favor with Boaz. Boaz actually ordered his men to leave behind handfuls on purpose for Ruth. And I thought, wow, God, that's powerful. We as a church need God to show us where he has left handfuls on purpose for us to go forth into this community and reach the lost. How cool is that? Handfuls on purpose. That is the favor of God. God's blessing will chase us down and overtake us. Whatever you give up to serve Jesus will be multiplied 100 times, the Bible says, now. And that's in Mark 10, 29, and 30. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time. God multiplies that which he gives us 100-fold. That's the law of sowing and reaping. When we plant the seed, we reap. And God wants us to see that the seed is in our hand. Anything that leaves your hand is your seed. And if you keep your seed, you keep your harvest. You want to give your seed out, and then the harvest can come. So as we go out into the community, we give of our seed. Sometimes it's our time. Oftentimes it is our finances. We give in different areas. But if we hold on to our seed, we keep the harvest. So God, I believe, is encouraging us, asking us, are we willing to release the seed so that we can see the harvest? And that was, scripture reference was from Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9, about sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So we need to understand where the seed comes from, that God is our supplier. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. In Philippians 4:19, we read that. And that word, God's grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient in the Greek there means lift up a barrier against, ward off. It's a defense. So God shall supply all your needs. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. A barrier is put up around us. As we honor God with our seed, he supplies our need. We have more seed to give. And God puts up a barrier to ward off and defend the enemy that would try to stop us from putting that seed out. Because how many of you understand that the devil doesn't want God's harvest to come? But God, in the very area of our weakness, his strength is made perfect and complete. Receive God's superabounding grace. His grace comes in the very area of our weakness. I want to read that whole verse. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So it's in our weakness, the places where we feel lack, that God says, do you trust me? Am I sufficient to be your strength in that area of your weakness? Oftentimes fear comes in when we're feeling God leading us to give in whatever area. Fear comes by hearing the words of men. So whose words will we listen to? Positive thoughts aren't going to save us. And Pastor John had started the staff meeting talking about Joshua and Caleb and how the 10 spies had gone in and they were fearful. They brought word back to the camp, caused others to be fearful. But Joshua and Caleb, they saw. So my question, I believe God is asking us as a church, who will you choose to listen to? Who are you going to believe? Remember what we started with, Psalm 35:27. The Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. He has blessed us. Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. Are we willing to trust God that he has left handfuls for us here at Hope Hill Church on purpose? Are we willing to release the seed and collect the harvest?
Thank you, Terry. So that's the challenge this morning. It's big. Are you willing to get into God and let him get into you so that he can use you to accomplish all that you've heard this morning? God has a harvest for us to reap, and we've got to be willing to give of ourselves in order to see God work. So as we close this morning in our time together, I want you to think about those things. I want you to think about, God, what do you want me to do with what I've heard this morning? How can I enable your movement amongst this community? God's already at work. He just is inviting you to join it. How can I be a part of it? So as you think about these things this morning, as you pray and allow God to speak to you during our closing time of worship, as we remember how God's body and blood were broken and poured out for us, Let us now say, God, how can I be broken and poured out for you? How can you use what you've blessed me with to be a blessing to others so that we can take this land, so that that number 82% can change? Through God, all things are possible. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for being a God that trusts us as broken, sinful people. You've chosen us to declare your truth and to shine your light in the areas of darkness around us. And so, God, I pray that we wouldn't step out in our own strength, but God, that we would step out in the power of your Holy Spirit so we can be strong and courageous. God, help us to take the steps that we know we need to take. Getting into your word regularly, meditating and dwelling on your thoughts and not the thoughts that would seek to keep us from moving forward. God, I ask, God, that the powers of darkness would be bound and kept away from this place so that your will could be done, so that we could step out in strength and in power to do the things that you've called us to do. I thank you, God, for speaking to each of us. I know Terry is one of several others who are hearing your word in their life, God, and I pray that we would just start speaking in boldness about the things we know that you are calling us to do, and that we would start putting those thoughts into action. So God, move amongst us, bring us clarity, and help us to seek you. God, right now, as we hear from you, God, I pray if there's somebody in this room who hasn't taken that first step to realize that you love them, that you came to forgive them of their sins, that they would open up their heart to you right now and say, God, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And I ask you, come into my life and make me a child of yours. Forgive me for the sins that I have in my life and help me now to get ready to follow you. So God, I pray your Holy Spirit would move at this time. Lead us. Help us to be yielded to your Spirit. In your name we pray. I encourage you to respond as you feel led. I will be up here ready to pray with any of you that feel like you want to share something with me or you want me to pray with you about something. We also have some prayer teams in the back of the room if you would prefer to pray in the back. Let God's Holy Spirit speak to you. Let's get ready for the movement of God. He wants to do amazing things.